Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Biz Connect, a radio show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I don't know about you if you've been outside today, but it is freezing out there. I've got my thickest fleece on today, so I hope you're keeping warm as well. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be with you for the next hour or so. We have a superb guest in the studio today who's going to introduce himself very shortly. But you can follow us on social media, on Twitter, at Kent_Biz. We also have a dedicated LinkedIn and Facebook show page. Please search for Biz Connect Radio Show and give us a follow there. And we also have a website, so you can find out some more information about our guest today, for example, but also details of future shows at kentbizconnect.co.uk. If you're an Ashford-based business or organisation and you have an interesting story to tell, we'd love to have you appear on the show as well, so do please get in touch with us through one of those channels. We have, I think it's fair to say, an educational theme to the show today, and I think it's time that we invited our guest to introduce himself. So, to my left, we have...
It's Russell Sauntry. Good afternoon.
Russell, lovely to have you with us today. You're going to be talking to us all about your new STEM Academy, educational, higher educational academy, Carbon 6.
That's right, over at Discovery Park.
Fantastic, fantastic. So do stay with us. If you have a child, perhaps, who's really interested in a career in science, but doesn't really know, perhaps, you know, where to start, having, you know, perhaps they're about to leave school in the next academic year or they've already left school, this might well be for them. So do stay tuned, and we'll have a chat with Russell after we've played a little bit of music. So, as always, our tunes today are chosen by our studio guest. And Russell, I think we're going to start with a little bit of New Order, Blue Monday, which is obviously very appropriate for today.
Absolutely.
So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect, connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Biz Connect, a radio show today. As we were saying before the break, we're delighted to have our guest, Russell Sauntry from Carbon 6 Academy of Science, in the studio with us today. Russell, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
That was one of your music picks. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm originally a northerner, so you were talking about the weather, and I'm sat here in a short sleeve shirt. So, yeah, growing up in Manchester in the late 70s, mid-80s, was a great grounding in the music culture of the UK.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Great. We're going to talk a little bit about Carbon 6 in a moment, but we have got an educational theme to the show today, which I think is really important in today's society. Tell us a little bit about your direct experience in the education sector, you know, perhaps your philosophy when it comes to educating young people today. Because I know you have a very positive attitude towards all of that. So just give us an overview of who you are and your background.
Okay, so over 30 years involved in education now. So did a master's degree in education research, did the MPQH, which is the head teacher's qualification, did most senior leadership roles, but left before head teacher. Didn't want to do that, really. That seemed like a mad job, and it's only got worse since I decided to do something else. Left education around 12 years ago to work with my current business partner, Louis, at Amelix. And we set up Amelix Education Resources. And the point of that company was I was tired of people ripping off schools. So I wanted to do something that would enable schools to get the best possible outcomes for the best value. So that was the core. As for my ethos, I think we should go to where children are. I don't see a young person as an empty vessel that needs filling with knowledge. I see them as someone with a potential, and our job is to find out what that is, what they're good at, bring that out of them, and then I believe they'll be happier. And I think a happier general populace would be a good thing at the moment.
And I guess part of that is employers understanding that they need to be more inclusive.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think there's a bit of a narrative. There's a very negative narrative around young people, particularly around mental health. I think that's a big thing. And I think an understanding that someone's perspective is their reality. that's the truth of it, that where someone sees themselves as being, that is where they are. So we can wring our hands and go, ooh, young people of today, just as 50-year-olds did 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, or we can do something about it. Yeah. And I'd rather be someone that does something about it.
Yeah, because traditionally, I guess, the system has tried to mould you into, you know, a certain size and shape. What you're saying is, you know, just accept that individual for who they are.
Absolutely.
Understand their neurodivergency.
Absolutely.
Because that brings its own skill set. And well, so employers need to understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. Neurodivergency, of course, is slightly different. But yeah, absolutely. And there are different types of neurodivergency. But there are strengths to having someone that is neurodivergent. Yeah. You know, you've got someone that's ADHD, they will have laser focus on something they're interested in, which is brilliant for a company.
Yeah.
But they'll probably need someone to do the organisation thing behind them.
Yeah. So, the backdrop, of course, to all of this is, I think there were some figures that were published last week, talking about, you know, young people and, this group called NEET. So just tell us what that actually means, Russell.
Okay, so it's people that are not in education, employment or training. So it's those young people that you see riding around on BMXs in hoodies, or sitting at home drinking Stella watching Good Morning.
That's the stereotype. They don't want to do anything. They just want to sit at home.
Lazy, indolent wastrels. Yeah. That's what the press would have you believe. Yeah.
But of course the reality is quite different. And I know you've got a breakdown there in terms of actually, you know, the number of people who are, you know, within that category, but actually actively wanting to, you know, find work and, you know, advance their career it tells a very different story.
Absolutely. So if we round it up to 1 million, because it makes it easy then for people, and I'll round the figures up, because they're within 50,000. So of that 1 million young people, 400,000 are actively seeking work. 400,000. So, you know, you can imagine, like, that's a lot of people. If we can get each one of them to contribute £10 to the economy, right. That's £4 million, right? So
they want a future, they want a career.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we are stopping them.
Right.
And I'm going to be frank about that. Mm-hmm. Society is stopping them in one way or another. So yeah, there's those 400,000. And then there's another 600,000 who are not seeking work. And there are a number of structural reasons under that. Some health issues, some physical issues, neurodivergent issues. But all things that other countries have shown you can deal with, and you can help, and you can bring people into the economy.
Mm-hmm.
With all of the benefits and self-worth that comes with it, that means that people feel fulfilled and useful.
Mm. So what do you think are the keys in terms of, you know, there's the 400,000.
Yep.
Clearly we need to do something.
Yep.
In terms of, you know, making workplaces more accessible.
Yep.
And inclusive.
Yep.
And then we've got this kind of 600,000 as well, and part of that will kind of overlap with that group as well.
Yep.
You know, what, you know, I'm assuming there is no magic wand, but we know, what are the key kind of foundations, if you like, that we need to build in order to kind of, to overcome this problem?
Okay, so firstly, is not to think of it as a global problem. So, for example, if you live in Portsmouth or the Isle of Wight or Hartlepool and you become NEET, you've got very little chance of getting back into the system. So there are specific areas where that is the case. If you live in other areas, in a London, Liverpool, Blackburn, Hull, then you are much more likely to be NEET than if you live in more rural areas. And yet you can break it down even more. So if you live in a London, if you're on free school meals, which is what we use for deprivation with families and young people, it makes very little difference if you're on free school meals or not in inner London. The issues are massive, and that wave just overcomes students, and the figure's nearer 20%. But if you're in London and you want to get back into it, you've got more chances.
So we need what you're saying is we need a more localized
hyper-local
approach rather than just a kind of a one size fits
hyper-local,
all education policy.
Yeah, I mean, if you live in York, the rate's about 4-5%.
Yeah.
If you live in London, Liverpool, Blackburn, it's 20%.
Uh-huh. And the key to that is going to be what? Is that about how the educational institutions that do exist there, how they're able to engage with the private sector, businesses, for example. What's the key?
Well, the key one for all of them is low education and achievement. So that attainment level, that's the key lever for all of these things. So number one, it's low attainment. So we need to look at what's causing that. And a lot of that is about early intervention. Mm-hmm. And about looking at children holistically and going, what is the barrier that's stopping you getting to a certain level of attainment? Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is, as a society, and this country is awful for it, people go, well, they should just sit down and learn. Mm-hmm. Well, believe it or not, if they could do that, they'd be doing it.
Yeah.
So let's stop doing that. We are where we are. Mm-hmm. Let's look at how we can support these young people to make sure they get that attainment, because that's the biggest single one.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this is very much sort of part of a wider malaise, I think, isn't it, that we have in this country. We now have, I think, in total, something in the region of, you know, 9 or 10 million
yep.
people who are now economically inactive,
yep.
I think is the acronym that's used
it,
there.
It is.
I mean, that's quite scary, isn't it? Because, you know, we've got a budget this week. We talk about the hole in the public finances. And we've actually got 10 million people who are either drawing a pension
yep.
or drawing some kind of benefit.
Yeah.
Or, you know, quite often, I'm sure, you know, have no kind of financial
yeah.
income at all.
Students.
Students, for example.
Carers.
But obviously, you know, what we need to try and do is create the next generation, for want of a better word, of taxpayers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, without them coming through, the public finances are going to be in even more of dire straits.
Yeah, they? Yeah. But I think we should also frame it properly. So, yes, 13% of young people are neat, but that then means that 87% are not.
Right.
Right? So nearly 9 in every 10. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if you add in the ones that want a job, mm-hmm. it becomes over 90% of yeah. the young people
yeah.
are either working, in training, or want to work. Okay. So we need to stop kicking kids, really. We need right. to pack that in.
Yeah.
And then help the people yeah. in that final 7-8%.
Yeah. And not think of the educational system or not kind of create an educational system that becomes a memory test in,
yes.
in a 2-hour exam, for example.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, our coffee company, I'm going to give a shout out to Hat Hats. So the coffee company employs 100 people. I have not sat them down in the last 5 years in a hall and said, what do you remember about your job? Mm. That's not what we do. We need to look at what we're teaching kids, without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. And preparing them for, you know, for
life.
Outside of, you know, the yes. educational system.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, and the key question that is, if you were designing an education system now for the benefit of this country,
yeah.
would you design what we've got? Yeah. Okay. And I don't think you would.
No, it's just not fit for purpose,
yeah.
is it, clearly.
And it's not school's fault.
Uh-huh, yeah. Okay, well, that brings us nicely onto Carbon 6, I think, and what you're trying to,
yep.
You know, how you're trying to kind of change that system effectively.
Absolutely, yep.
With the launch of a new science-based academy. So tell us all about Carbon 6.
Oh, I'm so excited about this. Okay, so we've got shortages in STEM people in this country. So they reckon it's costing us $1.8 billion a year. That we haven't got the people for STEM. But part of the issue is, and you can't blame companies for this, is the students moving from school into either degrees or apprenticeships. So there's a couple of structural issues. Firstly, because of the way we measure schools, schools are reticent to allow students to do 4A levels. Because if you let a child do 4A levels, you're actually stretching their time and their talent, and there's a chance they might achieve slightly less. So schools, because of the way we measure them, are going to push kids towards doing 3. It's obvious. Like, if your job's depending on attainment, you're going to go for the best possible formula. But what that means is we have, I think it's something like only 16% of kids can actually access the 3 sciences and maths, which are crucial for STEM. Mm-hmm. Because it's gone out the window that you were good at chemistry, you got a chemistry degree, and then you went to work for a chemical company. That doesn't happen now. They want the maths side of it. They need that side of it as well. So the idea is this. We're going to put a sixth form within Discovery Park. So for those of you that don't know, Discovery Park used to be called Pfizer's a while ago. It seems people in Kent still call it that. Mm-hmm. But they don't know what's there. So to give you an idea, there's 180 businesses, 3,000 people. They've got labs, they've got engineering, they've got farm, water treatment. It's unbelievable. From massive companies all the way down to startups. Mm-hmm. So there's loads of opportunities there. So we're going to put the students right in the midst of that. So what does that actually mean? Well, I met two brilliant women who were doing, their business is developing hydrogen into a fuel for aircraft. Okay? So if you were teaching a young person about hydrogen and you're in a classroom, you can show them a video, you can get some hydrogen out, do a quick experiment. But if you could take them to a lab where two people are on the cutting edge of development in the world, for them to tell them what hydrogen's about, you know, wow. So then you imagine there's one kid that just that flames their interest, and they start talking and they have a coffee together, and then they go, do you want to come and do some work experience? Mm-hmm. Who do you think that those people are going to take on as an apprentice when that position comes up? It's obvious.
Yeah.
Absolutely obvious. So for kids that want apprenticeships, it's magic. For kids that want to go to Oxbridge or Russell Group, it's magic. For kids that want to go straight into work, it's magic. We're in the middle of these companies. And what's amazing is that not only Discovery Park as a company, but the companies within Discovery Park love this.
Yeah.
They're all over it. This is what they want. They want a pipeline of young people that are well trained, that they're committed, they're excited. That's what they want and need. And so we've gone, okay, it seems fairly obvious what to do.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
So bridging that gap between the business need and the, you know, academic qualification.
Yeah, because if you're taking someone on and you've never met them, they're a name on a piece of paper, you are taking a risk. Whereas if someone's done a work experience, you've met them, you've had a coffee with them, you like the cut of the jib.
They've been in my lab, you know, on and off for the last 12 months.
Exactly. Shown an interest. Yes. I've helped them with their project. Yeah. Of course, you can come and work for me.
Yeah.
You know, we all know it's not what you know.
Yeah.
We all know it's who you know. So that's the idea.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that and the importance of STEM more generally, I think, in terms of, you know, the future direction and opportunity for our economy in the UK. Certainly with kind of science and life science based skills and businesses. So we're going to do that in the next part of the show. Do stay with us. What we're going to do now is we're going to play another one of Russell's tracks. We've got Insomnia by Faithless. So everybody knows that one. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the BizConnect radio show today. We're having a fascinating conversation with our guest, Russell Sauntry, from Carbon 6 Academy of Science today. We've been talking, Russell, about the need to kind of create opportunities, really, I think it's fair to say, for our young people today.
Yep.
It's not a case of them not wanting to work.
Nope.
It's about having the right opportunity to shine and show their skills and what they can offer. And we were talking just before the break about why you've chosen to base Carbon 6 at Discovery Park.
Yep.
And that whole kind of partnership and collaboration side of what you're going to be creating and why that's so important.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Discovery Park is synonymous with innovation, really. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about innovation. It's, you know, they're right on the cutting edge. And what a brilliant partner to have, you know, absolutely amazing partner to have.
Yeah.
And the STEM industries are crucial to UK growth. There's no way around it.
Yes. And I think that's the kind of the wider context we need to think about. So I know you've got some information around that, but it's very much about, you know, tapping into and, maximizing the opportunity from, you know, the future direction of the UK economy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a bit of a tough one for me because I tend to see, I'm less worried about, the GDP, as it were. I'm more worried about people. I've got this sort of belief that if people are happy and they feel fulfilled, then things will be better naturally. But there are figures you can't get away from. So there was a survey done on STEM skills, and between 1982 and 2005, which was the last time it was done, 20% of all growth was linked to STEM skills. I mean, that's ridiculous. And then the value of these sectors. So life sciences, of which Discovery Park is a massive part, contributed over $13 billion to the economy in 2023. And the digital sector was valued at $158 billion. I mean, these are massive numbers, and they're in Kent. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is, you know, I'm from Manchester. I love Kent. I moved down here. I'm not moving back. Mm-hmm. Not because I don't like Manchester, but I love it here. Mm-hmm. And such opportunities right on the doorstep. And I don't think people know. I don't think they realise.
Yeah. So going back to what you were saying about the need for a localised approach. You know, we've already got this well-established base, life science base community in Kent.
Yep.
It's about now, you know, linking that directly with, you know, the next generation in terms of giving them the opportunity to move into that sector.
Well, they're crying out for it.
Yeah.
They want good people. You know, when we're talking about young people and them moving forward, I have never met a parent that didn't want their kids to do better than they did. So again, that narrative that there are some people and there are some groups, nonsense. Everyone wants their kids to do well, right? So it's about providing those opportunities.
Yeah.
And this is an opportunity for people that love sciences and maths. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really is as simple as that. Yeah. And being in those amazing labs in that amazing space is just, you know, it'll be a dream come true for some young people. And why not? You know, absolutely. Let's do it. Why should we let the other countries do it?
Yeah.
Let's get on board.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the barriers to that? I mean, what have the barriers been historically to, you know, to seeing that opportunity and making it happen like you are?
Yeah.
You know, with your new Academy of Science.
Why haven't other people done it? I don't know. I think we've got a real silo mentality in this country. So we've got schools in one silo. We've got health in another silo. We've got employment in another silo. And they almost don't talk to each other. And when you look at European countries that do this well, I'm going to pick on Denmark. What they do is they put them all together. So they have them all on the same campus. So a young person is going from one door to the next rather than to another building in another city or another town.
Yeah.
And
I love that. I mean, that whole idea of symbiosis.
Yes.
Is something they're brilliant at.
Absolutely.
But we're not. As you say, I you know, the way you just described it, you know, we're operating in an educational silo or an industry silo or a benefit silo or whatever it might be. And we're just not joining the dots.
And I want to be really clear. I'm not blaming anyone for that. Like, I am not blaming schools or businesses or health. It isn't their fault. These are structures that are set up that they work within. And that's the problem. You know, like, so if you went to a school and went, right, we need three offices, three office spaces for most schools would go, we don't have three office spaces. You know, we need to think about how we are going to do this.
Yeah.
And it is going to be a big investment, but why not? You know, you can't do things on the cheap. Anyone in business knows, you know, you have to speculate to accumulate. Mm-hmm. So that's what we need to do.
Yeah. Now, I'm assuming that, you know, launching a new school, for want of a better word, isn't the easiest thing to get through.
No.
In terms of your accreditation and credentials in this space, tell me about, you know, what you've had to do with Ofsted, for example.
Well, we're not in Ofsted stage yet because obviously they'll come after. But one of the things, like the key thing is finding a partner, an education partner. You have to be linked to someone. And then that key thing is someone that has got the foresight to see the benefit of this. So we're linked with Turner Schools, who are based in Folkestone. And their CEO saw the benefit of this straight away because it was obvious, but you have to have a certain mindset to want to go with this. So we had a school. You need to have a partner like Discovery Park, who I'm going to give a shout to because they have been amazing. So, and their people have been so supportive. We wrote to Lord Valence to see what he thought, and we got brilliant feedback from him.
So he's the UK Science Minister.
The UK so Science he's got Minister. Behind it. He's behind it. Sir Roger Gale has been to see it. Local he's behind MP. It. Local MP. He loves it. And I have to say the DfE have been very supportive. I've got a meeting with the DfE after this. They're being very supportive.
Yes.
But yeah, you're quite right. There is lots to do.
Right. Okay. So all of that is in place.
Yes.
Okay. In terms of, you know, accessibility from mm-hmm. a student point of view.
Yep.
How would they get there?
Well, there's...
I mean, Discovery Park, for people that haven't been there, or, you know, the X-Files, the European HQ,
yep.
as a lot of people remember it, is based in Sandwich.
Absolutely.
And you think, well, you know, it's not the easiest place to get to.
No.
So, you know, tell us about the logistics, if you like, right. of well, getting students to and from.
There's two things about this. One is there's a little bit of a fallacy that kids won't do things that are difficult. So if I look at I run an entrepreneurship academy at Canterbury Academy, as well as eSports, and I've got a student in there that comes from Westwood Cross. I've had kids from Sittingbourne. I had one from Maidstone. If Ashford, if they want to do it, they will travel.
Right.
So practicably, the station isn't that far away, and Discovery Park, not only will there be buses that drop off right outside, mm-hmm. Discovery Park are going to run the shuttle. For trains that's bookable for the students.
So there's a new station, for those of you that haven't been down, towards Thanet
yeah.
for a while.
Yeah.
At Manston Parkway.
Manston Parkway.
So that will run, there'll be shuttle buses that yeah. run directly from there.
Yep.
Straight into Discovery Park and back again at the end of the day.
Yep. And we're also in, I think we're going to be negotiating with Stagecoach to reopen the bus stop that's outside the gate, that's outside the building we're in.
Fantastic.
It is, you know, easy to get to, and I was...
The train line from Ashford is, how many stops is that? Wychenham, Chartham, Canterbury West, Manston.
There we go, local knowledge. Yeah. There's neurodiversity for you. And I was talking with a guy that runs the Canterbury Bike Project about, you know, what I'd love to do, because it's flat, is get the kids some fold-up bikes.
Yeah.
And I've done some work with the prison, on Sheppey, and they've got a bike project.
Wow.
And you can get bikes from them.
Yeah.
I got my fold up bike for £40 from yeah. them. So, you know, I would love that. And he was talking about ex-Boris bike type things. Can we put them at the station?
Amazing.
So it, you know.
And hopefully at some point we'll have Brompton bikes in Ashford as well. So
wow.
That would be a fabulous time.
That would
it?
Be fabulous. Longest yeah. Term.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for that. I think what we're going to do, we're going to play another one of your tracks. We've got Stone Roses, very Mancunian.
Very Mancunian, yes.
And what we're going to do then is tell everybody, we're just going to finish the show off when we come back. Tell everybody about, you've got a fabulous open evening
yep.
taking place this week.
Yep.
You've got a couple of time slots there that people can kind of sign up to. So yep. we're going to talk about all of that. In the final part of the show.
Sure.
So do stay with us and we'll be right back after the Stone Roses. Welcome back everybody to the final part of the BizConnect radio show. Thank you so much for staying with us. We've had an amazing guest in the studio today. Russell Sauntry from Carbon 6 Academy of Science, soon to launch at Discovery Park in Sandwich. Russell, we were talking off air about the experience as
yes.
well that students are going to experience down yes. at Discovery Park. It's not your kind of typical archetypal school environment, is it?
No. And I think it came out of, I actually took my daughter around. She's in year 11 in Folkestone. And she said to me, the atmosphere is amazing. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, it's calm, it's quiet, it's comfortable. She said, it's the exact opposite of school.
Yeah.
She said, there's no one running around screaming. There's no year sevens banging into you. It just feels comfortable. And she said, you should market this, Dad. This is what people will want.
Yeah.
Somewhere that's calm and quiet and you treat like an adult. Yeah. And that's what it is.
Yeah. And conducive to learning.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
It's a workplace.
Yeah. And also the teachers. That they're going to be exposed to as well.
Yeah.
I've got a background in You know, in business, but also in science.
Absolutely.
And so they're bridging that gap as well.
Absolutely. So Dr. Whitby, Kev, I'm not sure if Kev will be listening, but Dr. Whitby, he's going to be leading on our education, on our science. And his background, he was Pfizer's lead scientist. He's had 20 papers published. He's a specialist in virology, but particularly in hepatitis. He's run teams across Europe, working in the sales aspect. Just a scientific powerhouse. Yeah. Who's also a teacher.
Yeah.
So he brings this incredible breadth of knowledge, understanding, enthusiasm to this sixth form. You know, it's not going to be me teaching them science. You know, it isn't going to be my business partner, Louis, even though his wife did ask him. It's going to be these incredible people, and people are already saying, like, well, where are you getting them from? It's hard to get science teachers. Well, I hate to break it to everyone, but people are contacting me. I got an email on the way in from someone saying, I'm interested in this. This is what I do.
I've had a high-flying career in pharma.
Yeah.
And now I want to give something back.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to pass that knowledge on to the next generation.
Yeah, yeah.
And or, you know, what a great role model and mentor.
Yeah, or I've gone into teaching, mm-hmm. and although I enjoy it, this sounds unbelievable.
Right.
And the reason is, it is. There isn't anything like this.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm disillusioned with the education system.
Even, mm-hmm. I like what I'm doing,
yeah.
but this sounds amazing. So, yeah, you know, yeah. I drive a nice electric car, uh-huh. but if someone offered me a Ferrari, I might put my ecological ethos to the side on a weekend.
Not Russell.
Not completely, just for the weekend.
Right. So you've got a really important evening coming up this week on Thursday.
Yeah, this Thursday.
6 till 9pm over at Discovery Park. Tell us about this open evening and what's happening.
Sure. There are two slots. One starting at 6. And basically, if you go onto Discovery Park's website and you look for Carbon 6 Academy of Science, you can sign up for the open evening. And really, you know, we can talk about it. We both know how brilliant Discovery Park is, right? But because it's so secure, because it's almost got a mythical status in Kent, there are lots of people that haven't even been inside. So this open evening is about going inside, getting a feel of the place, seeing what the labs look like, seeing what the catering facilities are like, just getting a sense of what the place is like. You'll also be able to talk to our two of our education partners, which is the University of Kent and Canterbury Christ Church University, because although I spoke about Oxbridge and Russell Group, because of the cost of university, there are some young people now are choosing to stay at home and go to their local uni. And we are so fortunate in Kent to have two brilliant universities. I got my master's at Canterbury Christ Church, so I have an affinity with them. But I also work a lot with the University of Kent, who have been brilliant with my entrepreneurship group. Two amazing universities on our doorstep. They're both going to be there on the evening to show how keen they are, as well as people representing the industries. Mm. And these are big industry partners, big industry partners that are there at Discovery Park and desperately want these young people.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think the message that I'm hearing is, you know, view this as your future career.
Yes.
You know, this you know, this is an important stepping stone to actually getting you into a really well-paid future career.
Oh, the money is, you know, I know money's not everything, but it's also nice to have.
Yeah.
And STEM industries do attract good money. Absolutely. Okay. And this is the launch pad. This is the back door, the secret garden, if you like.
Yeah.
And we're putting a school right in the middle of it.
So there's two, just to recap, there's two groups that you'll be showing around on the evening. The first one is at 6 p.m. for arrival and refreshments.
Yep.
And the second one is at 7:30 p.m. for arrival and refreshments.
Absolutely.
You mentioned the Discovery Park website.
Yep.
It's discovery-park.co.uk.
That's right.
Or just Google Carbon 6
at Discovery
Academy
Park.
Of Science and it'll come up with
and
all the information.
Up. Yeah.
But do pre-register for that if you'd like to come along and find out more.
Yeah, because I think we're providing pizzas and nice coffee, so we need to make sure we've got enough pepperoni. Yeah. You know,
that's fantastic.
And there are vegetarian options, of course.
Brilliant. Well, Russell, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. And, you know, I think what you're trying to do here is incredibly dynamic. It's very forward thinking. It's exactly what's needed.
Thank you.
So I'm incredibly excited to see it happen, and I will see it happen because I am obviously based down there as well. But for everybody listening, do come along on Thursday evening, either for the 6 or 7:30 PM, group tour.
Yeah, but please do sign up.
Yes. You will need to sign up at discovery-park.co.uk or, as I said, just Google Carbon 6 Academy of Science.
Absolutely.
Russell, thank you again so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Time
I've loved
has
it.
Flown by.
Absolutely flown. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah.
I will be back in 2 weeks' time. We have two more fabulous guests in the studio. We're going to be talking about everything about this week's budget.
Oh, so joy.
We have an accountant and we have an insolvency practitioner with us in 2 weeks' time, dissecting everything that will come out of this week's budget.
So really?
If you do join us for that. And that will be our last show before Christmas.
Wow.
But I think what we'll do now is we'll play out with one more of Russell's tunes. We've got Wham.
Of course.
Edge of Heaven. So
of course.
Completely different.
This
from
is to all my university friends that might be listening, because this is what we used to dance to.
Brilliant. So thank you to our listeners for tuning in today, and we'll be back with you on the airwaves in a couple of weeks' time. Bye for now.